All right, 5 o'clock on a March Madness Monday. You know what the drill is. It's hit the books time, ladies and gentlemen. Alongside the man, the myth, legend himself, Mr. Joey Knish, we have Jason filling in for producer extraordinaire Zach Phillips. And obviously, we'll get to your questions and concerns. I am merely Brad Powers. Before we talk some college hoops, yes, we will talk some college hoops on today's show. We'll touch on a little bit of college football subjects that I want to get Knish's take on. Before we get to any of that, and of course, your questions, let me remind everybody that Hit the Books is brought to you by BetStamp. The easiest way to improve as a sports bettor is to use multiple sports books and always getting the best odds. We recommend using an odds comparison tool like BetStamp. BetStamp compares odds across every sports book for games, futures, and player props. You can save time and money by checking BetStamp before you bet. Download the app today. If you're looking to sign up for a new sportsbook account, please check out the offers available at betstamp.app/hitthebooks, or you can hit the link in the description. If you sign up through this page, it does help support the show. Long time no talk, Knish. What's happening? What's new in your neck of the woods?
Feeling good. Couple of things. Wanted to give a shout out on a somber note to, I know he's been part of some, we've talked about him on Circles Off and that, but Troy Hermo from Bleacher Report passed away last night. A guy that a lot of people on Twitter knew, had followed his story recently. Just a condolences to his family. And man, I will always be inspired by the way Troy went about things, even in the face of adversity, the face of, the dealing with cancer, you know, for 5 years. So, man, love the guy, feel for his family, but incredible inspiration. The other, on a more uplifting note, is I seem to have found my love of college buckets again. And it's thanks to a good friend of yours, the Blue Horseshoe, of the most locked in I've been to a college basketball game in about 4 years. Was that DePaul, DePaul UConn game or DePaul? I don't even remember what the, where
Villanova,
where he's laying minus 4,000. I think at one point in the second half, there was a live pick. Literally, you could get like minus 115.
They were an underdog with 10 seconds.
Yes. And then they hit a three, and I was, oh my God. Some people, for a game that I didn't have $1 on, felt good to be invested in a college basketball game. So, a couple of good things there. But hey, good to be back and a little March Madness this week with you.
Yeah, let me get quickly, because I know a lot of people want to talk March Madness, maybe in a few draft questions. A couple things as far as college football. Since I last talked to you, you're talking about brackets. We got bracket creep already with college football. Oh, 12 teams, God. Forget that. How'd you like the 12 segment, team? Right? We're going to 14. Right, do I hear 16? Your quick thoughts on a 14-team college football playoff.
I'm glad we're doing this in the off season. Cause for the premium show, we could spend, 30 minutes. It's just, here's the problem. There's never contract. You go to any sport, any major sport, any regular, anytime there's expansion and the people get used to that level of money and that those checks come rolling in, there's never contraction. You're never going to four. You're never going back to six. You're never going back to eight. Nothing will, like, it's going to be 14. And then they'll be, if somebody gets greedy.
I get 16.
Yeah, and then they'll be, what about 32? You know, am I still going to watch? We're still two suckers here. Going to be doing college football shows all week, betting on every game, watching it. So I can't be too upset at it because I'm going to still be locked in. But I liked four. I could have seen going to eight. 12 annoyed me. 14 with three byes in each of the big conferences of, like, I don't know. You said it last show, that, and it won't get enough clip of, you had what all of these sports outside of the NFL desire, and that's a meaningful regular season where every game has a massive premium, and you're going to slowly lose that and become college basketball where nobody watches the regular season. Nobody cares about it. We'll get to that level, though. But college basketball, do people even know who's got, like, it before February? Nobody even, can you name like three players before February? I mean, it is what it is. It's frustrating.
I don't know why you'd want to become college basketball. Look, I love the tournament for college basketball. It's fun, but it's a 1 month of thing. Everyone loves it for 1 month. They don't love it the other 11 months.
No,
I don't know why college football would want to do that, but whatever. We know why. Money. hey, that money isn't always guaranteed. And when the ratings aren't going to be there on a weekly basis, I mean, it'd be interesting to see how that goes. A couple more things. College football. Missouri had a spring game, believe it or not. I know you were watching it, breaking it down.
One of my guys is a Missouri guy, so I heard. Let me know. Did you see any of it? What are your thoughts?
I did watch it. I got some notes. A few, to say the least. I'll break it down position real quick. A quarterback worried about the backup spot. When you got to go out and get Drew Pine, that's a worry. The backup that they originally thought they were going to have this year.
Famous member of baseball. This show, Drew Pine.
Yeah, played baseball, and he got hurt. And he's going to be out for the season. That concerns me. You got to keep Brady Cook healthy. And Brady Cook's a good quarterback. I don't think he's a great one. Running back, you lose the Schrader. That's a massive loss. You're talking about one of the best seasons as far as rushing in the history of the SEC. They bring in a couple of group of five transfers. Marcus Carroll from Georgia State. Nate Noel from App State. Two solid group of five transfers. I think they'll be okay there. Wide receivers elite. I think it's a top five wide receiver unit in the country. Offensive line's fine. Defensive line is better than expected. I think it's just to sum it up quickly, it's a good team. I don't think it's a great team. Are they going to match last year's 11 wins? Probably not. Win total right now is 9.5 with the under juiced. That sounds right to me as far as Missouri is concerned.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, a team that they've really tried to up the recruiting. Like they made that in-state law. They've gone after a couple of five-star guys and landed a couple. And a team that might be a little bit of a preseason darling that, you know, we've seen. I remember when we first looked at national title futures, there were some 100-to-1 out there on Missouri. Now some places are like 30, 35-to-1. It was a team that I think maybe you would have gotten a nice price on to make the playoff, and now you're not going to. And so I don't want to be negative on the direction of the program or any of that, but it's one of those that they seem to be really wanting to try to get in that big boy, you know, do spending money, get in that next tier of the SEC. It's hard though. It's really like, it's just hard to, especially, you know, going against some of the established players in there. They just seem a tier below, you know, where it's like maybe they sneak in if they win the right games. Would you ever have them on, you know, a Georgia and Ohio State level? It's like they're just a tier below for me. And nothing that I've really wanted to invest in so far, early season stuff.
Yeah, I think they're a playoff team. They're not a national title contending team, if that makes sense. With the 12-team playoff, I mean, there is a distinction, you know. Can Missouri make the playoffs? Absolutely. Can they win three games in the playoffs? Probably not. So that's kind of where I'm at with them. It was a thud. I hate spring games that are thud, meaning they don't tackle the ground. So I don't get the best of looks, to say the least, in something like that. One other thing I want to get to, and this is in your neck of the woods. What do you feel about that Michigan coaching staff? A little extracurricular activities there in Ann Arbor.
You know, I tell you that was not, I think they're going to have to fire, honestly. And I know some program, but I think they're going to have to fire them based on some of the history with some of the hires. And if you look at if he wasn't walking into this scenario, maybe you suspend the guy, he comes back. Well, obviously we're talking about the D-line coach arrested for DUI, OWI, whatever you want to call it there.
Just got hired and you're doing that?
Yeah, that's a bad And a guy who, by all accounts, good recruiter, a guy a lot of the guys on stat were excited to play for. I don't see how he survives it, to be honest with you, especially with, you know, the Connor Stallion, some of the stuff that has gone on with staffers in the past few years. I would be kind of surprised if he did that. So I liked a lot of the staff they hired, including him, but if I was a betting man, and you could bet on this, I would say he's probably going to get fired. And now you're going to another tier for a defensive line coach.
One more thing on the Michigan coaching front. Tony Alford news happened since I last spoke to you.
We're talking a little more positive coaching news there. I saw you respond to that on Twitter there. That shocked a lot of people.
It did. This is not a homer take. Keep in mind, I'm wearing a Buckeye hat, but I don't like the Buckeyes. I wear a Michigan hat. Don't like Michigan. I just like hats. I do like the blue bloods of the sport. I'm not trying to knock Michigan. I think Alford's lost his fastball. I think it was stunning as far as, hey, I mean, a lot of winning in today's day and age is winning the narrative. And certainly Michigan wins the narrative, pulling Ohio State's running back coach, who's been there forever. And, you know, his resume is really good and his past successes are really good. So winning that narrative, as far as the headlines, great for Michigan. As far as his coaching acumen, tea leaves for me says he was a better running back coach 5 years ago. He's more of a dog on the recruiting trail 5 years ago than he's been the last couple of years.
Yeah. And you know, I think he's a better recruiter than he is coach. Whereas Mike Hart, who got replaced, was a better coach, much, much better coach than he was recruiter. So you're kind of replacing one for another. I agree with you that I think a lot of this was just a Sherrone Moore splash and a shot to the bow. And if you look at how it went down, I mean, I'll give you the process where some of those defensive hires to get through the back before they were formally announced were weeks, like multiple weeks. They had to look in and do the background check, do everything. Alford, the news leaks, and like 2 hours later, he was formally announced, which means he had basically taken the job while he's at spring practice for Ohio State.
You believe in all the conspiracy theories about the playbook and all that?
You want to call it, listen, I mean, I don't know if it's conspiracy as much as it is like it's cutthroat. Which is right. Listen, that's part of the rivalry. I know one of the big Ohio State posters called it dirty business or nasty business, whatever. I'm not gonna refute that. I mean, it's you're Sherrone Moore, and you're coming into a situation, and you're trying to make a splash and to take, like, you've got Ryan Day on the ropes, whereas one more loss and he's
KO'd.
Yeah, so you got him on the ropes there. You're going for a KO. That's one of the guys on the staff that you could get. You went for it. So, yeah, I agree with you. A little bit more narrative than substance, but narrative is not very
stunning, to say the least. So I'll say that. It was a stunning, not something I thought I'd wake up and read on Twitter. And
agreed.
On that particular day. Let's get to the chat here quickly. And, guys, we've got a little bit of a shortened show. We're only going to go another 15, 20 minutes. Charles in the chat. Happy March, boys, and we will talk college hoops now. Have to know which minus 8,000 Joey Buckets laying opening weekend. I think Connecticut's safe. They're not Purdue from last year.
I agree. I agree with that. Not that I'd lay the – I just – this is – listen, I don't mind laying juice, like, you know, minus 300, minus 5. There's value in it. I just think there's better – I've tweeted this before – better ways to make money than laying – minus 4,000s, minus 5,000s, or like there's more edges to be had than laying that type of price in especially in this day and age in college basketball and the 3-point era and the very, like, that's just not saying there's no, can't be value, just not how I would go about it from a personal preference.
I'm okay if you're personally betting it, and you know, the price should be, you know, I think we're quoting Fezzik here, as far as Mr. Blue Horseshoe himself. Hey, if you think it should be minus 8,000, you can find minus 4,000 on Connecticut. Kudos. Bet it. I don't know that you should be announcing it to the Twitter world when you lost one last year and you were very fortunate not to lose another one here.
So you lose, let's call it, you play to win one unit. You lose 40 units. You lose two. You lose 80 units. Yeah. You've got to win so many of the, like, you're putting yourself at this, even if there was value. Also, Houston minus 25. Not sure where he, you know, that was an interesting price he got on that one, because I don't see much close to that on the board.
Funny how he gives those out, the off-market numbers.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Rock at 3 a.m. had 2,500, and but.
Speaking of Fezzik, quick announcement. We are doing a watch along, and we're on the street. I am hosting it. The street is the suits are trying to get Fezzik and me together for the Houston game. So we'll see. It's going to be Friday night, right around 8 o'clock. Tournament live watch party. Follow us on Twitter as far as Brad Power 7 and also at Hit the Books HQ. And at the Hammer HQ for more details on that. Again, Friday, live watch along NCAA basketball. I'll be hosting it with a bunch of guests, and Fezzik's going to be one of them. Hopefully you got time.
Moretto asked me today. I think I'm going to jump in.
Okay, cool. Looking forward to that. Charles in the chat again, at current price, do you think there's any value? We're talking NFL draft here, fading Turner to be the first defenseman selected from the same neighborhood as me. I had to sneak that in. Same question for Joe Ald as well. Have you bet anything to do with that as far as the NFL draft?
I have. So just in terms of those, I think there could potentially be with Turner? Yes. Do I have a great feel for who it's going to be at the moment? No. The Joe Ald, I'm not as big on. I know one of my guys, there was like a 10-1 on the other guy that was out there for a little bit, took some of that. I think in the end it's going to be Ald. Have I laid the juice on that? No. That's a fancy way of saying that I haven't really gotten involved with it. The first defensive player has caught my eye. I just don't have a great feel right now or any information on who it would be if it's not him. I do think it's a little bit juiced and that there could be some value there, but just haven't taken a position yet on any of the other guys.
I have not been anything really draft related yet. Oh, and you know what? I did. I knew if you follow on Twitter, GRP, old Panagakis, I did bet over 4.5 quarterbacks because I knew the market was going to move on that. It's something pretty square, but maybe I'll play back later. Did you play that one? It's moved significantly.
I did not. I would agree, though, with the play. I mean, I think you've got like four absolutely lock guaranteed and then just need a fifth, you know, to fly around. And I think there's enough quality where you'll get somebody taking a mid or later round flyer on one of the other guys. So I agree with the play.
Gabe in the chat, thank you for that compliment there. Best show in the business right here. Wish you guys had it more often. Obviously, we'll ramp it up as far as the number of shows as we get closer to football season. We wrap up college hoops here. NFL draft. Although I will say, I'm going to miss a week or two. I'm actually going to be back in your neck of the woods for a couple weeks.
Oh, so, I thought you – I mean, is there a – so you're just coming – are you doing the stadium tour? Is there
a new stadium tour. We're going to hit like 3 or 4 spring games. So I'm excited about that. Call me a nerd, but I'm actually in that little window, that sliver with the eclipse. I'll just watch from my parents' place. You know, the big solar eclipse. I'm sure that's nerd.
Good place to watch that in the fields of Ohio. You get a great view.
Yeah, I get a great view. I mean, it's total eclipse, whatever. So I'm going to go for that. So we'll let you guys know as far as the shows as we leading to it here. But again, we'll ramp it up. More here as far as questions. RW fan in the chat, and this is college basketball, Longwood money line, big bomber banger, 5-unit Maxwell lock play or a quarter unit. I don't like Longwood money line. I'll just put it that way.
No, I mean, genuinely, I'll probably throw like $20 on that parlay that I tweeted out earlier for the live watch along just for fun. Cause I told myself after the DePaul game, I was like, I got to start betting against these just so I have a ticket when one of them
to
victory parade around. So, but don't do that as like a serious bettor if you know you don't got that kind of dispensable income.
More questions in the chat. RW fan, when do most books post win totals for college football? 3 books have them up right now. I see William Hill Caesars just posted them for the Power 5. So, and they have a couple of different numbers there. Obviously, FanDuel's had them up for 6 weeks now. And then Bet Online, a little bit lower limits there. But 3 books is honestly 3 more than what we've had at any other point that since I've been doing it. As far as mid-March, we've never had 3 books with win totals out. As far as widely available, I'm guessing and hoping that it's May. They wait until after spring practice, that they wait until after the next transfer portal. And then, I'll be happy to bet anything in May, but let's hope that'll be the case and they're not getting greedy and opening up here right after the – I'm guessing a few are going to get greedy right Final Four weekend. And they'll want people's money, and they'll do some stuff with college football as college basketball winds up. Michael in the chat, the RW also asked the game of the year line, similar, probably May-ish. Michael, Bet Online has some games that are.
And I'll tell you, well, you know what? And we're going head-to-head on. We're going at Michigan. There's a little variance there, but that Michigan-Texas line I've got enough. I've got enough certainty now with the program, baby. Give me the big blue in that one with Now, granted, I took the BOL line at a little bit higher than the FanDuel line, but
you're taking Michigan in that game over Texas.
Give me the points, baby. Give me the points, Jason. Put it on the sheet.
Yeah,
We'll split the difference.
It might be already on the sheet, but head to head, I like Texas quite a bit. Are we going head to head on the? You want to do the win total? I'll go under 9.5. You going over? Are you liking to beat Texas? Where's the three losses then?
Well, I mean, you got Oregon, and you
got Ohio State.
And you're not going to lose to Ohio State, so 11-1. I'll take it. Give me.
You want to go under 9? Put that on the sheet.
Put it on the sheet.
Yeah, under 9.5 Michigan win total for me. Over for Kanish. You want to talk about a homer? Hey, throw me some. I'll take him right now. I need it after you beat me last year. I'm off to a 2-0 start, thankfully. Reggie in the chat, back to basketball. I know we're jumping back and forth, guys. Bear with us. First one seed to lose in the tournament. I got to think North Carolina, right? I would have said Purdue, but they got the easiest region.
Right. Yeah, I mean, listen, if you want to go spicy, North Carolina is going to be the answer for everybody because they're significantly worse than and the significantly harder draw than any of the other three. So if you wanted a spicy take, I think Houston, you saw it in the Iowa State game, can have those periods of offensive futility where you run into a hot shooting team, maybe. That would be my only take there. But have I bet against that? No. Are they going to lose to Longwood? Probably not.
Quick thoughts on the tournament for you. I'm not excited. I mean, I'm excited to watch some college hoops. I bet a ton of games already. I'll have a quick story here before we sign off on, you know, showing my ineptitude as far as college basketball compared to college football. But a lot of the teams that I was looking to make, like, you know, okay, I can, you know, like Auburn, I was expecting them to be a 3 or 4 seed. I was hoping they'd get in the same region as a Purdue or a North Carolina. I was going to take like Auburn to the Final Four type of stuff. No, they get thrown in the Connecticut bracket. Obviously, I like Connecticut. I think they're the most complete team. I wasn't a fan of how it all got laid out as far as opportunities to have a real good bracket. What was your thoughts?
Yeah, it's one of those things. You've seen this with the committee in college football a little bit, where the best example being the most recent one of Alabama, Florida State, where they're running back Michigan State because Tom Izzo's name and stuff. They make a lot of branding financial decisions as opposed to. And then the thing that I hate more is they match up. Like, I'll tell you two schools that I really, you know, liked as far as longer prices to make Sweet 16 or Final Four were St. Mary's and Grand Canyon. And they matched. Yeah. They played each other in the first round. Yeah,
McNeese and Gonzaga. Yeah. It just sucks. I hate when they do that crap.
Yeah, that to me is even more criminal than the in or out. Is like, if you're one of these teams that's a little frisky that could make a run, they give you like the suicide pathway of like having no chance to win 4 straight games of these. So yeah, that was honestly St. Mary's was going to be my like loved how they're playing end of the year, but and they get a horrific matchup and draw. So.
I thought I saw a lot of that, to be honest with you. Teams mm-hmm. that I was like, oh, I might, you know, take this team, you know, Elite Eight surprise. No, I just sucks in that regard. Looking through the chat here. Can this top the old Dominion Live meltdown watch along? Could be. If Houston's not doing so well, I think what hurts is Houston getting beat by 30 in the Big 12 championship game. Probably get some refocus. So no, I'm not expecting it, but it could be. It does have the possibility, at least if it's close a little bit there. Spammy Sosa, have you guys bet any conference futures yet or still waiting on the portal? The reason I have not bet any conference futures has nothing to do with the portal. It has to do with the pricing. The theoretical hold percentages for the sports books on that market right now is ridiculous. I'm looking to shop, particularly in the Big 12 conference, where I think any one of 10 teams could win it in that conference. I don't see good fair prices.
I think especially the early releasers will sometime, and again, when you're the first one releasing, I understand protecting yourself to a point, but they'll add in a lot of that vig and hold and then kind of hope people bet into it anyway because it's first of, you know, first of a market and stuff. But I agree with you. There has not been and especially it's just been the big four conferences, which are relatively, you know, like it's harder to make a mistake on any of those. Hasn't been much out there that I've been chomping at the bit to bet.
Wow, this is news to me. I'm going to have to look at this. The guy in the chat, ESPN Bet and Bet 365 at Win Totals 2.
Yeah, you know what? Unbelievable. I will, and not, I found, and it's so because it's the Bet 365 is like one of the hardest places to get down because of their risk management. I did not say, I agree. I didn't see the ESPN Bet, so I have to take a look at that.
Yeah, I will. I'll be looking right after the show's over. Thank you for giving me an extra half hour, Kanish, to look at that. We'll be looking at that. We'll report on that next time we talk to you guys. Maybe I'll start giving out win totals. I mean, if I mean 5, 6, 7 books are up, my, you know, why not? Charles in the chat, the Tuttle Heisman starts versus Texas. Yeah, that'd be a nice one. Got to be either Fresno way, baby.
You go, that's the beauty of having multiple star quarterbacks, Tuttle, Orgy. We'll probably play them both.
Unbelievable. Kyle in the chat, Joey Case, 40 minutes of college hoops is more than the committees. Damn,
I was going to say, nobody knows DePaul better than me after sweating some of these DePaul games that Fez has faded.
Oh, my God. Yeah, committee leaves a little bit to be desired pretty much in any of the college sports. I still think Austin Mack can win the job in Tuscaloosa. I mean, obviously, I bet him to win the Heisman. I mean, ask me in a month. I got to watch their spring game. I mean, I hate that that market was pretty widely available so early as well. I just felt like I was going to have to force any kind of good practice report, and his odds were going to be changing. John in the chat, don't let Gredeberg know they sent 3 Bama schools to Washington State in the first round. Yeah, that was – I thought we were supposed to go to the pod system. They're shipping, you know, keep it close to home.
Right.
Now they're shipping a bunch of teams across the country. It was, you know, a bad job by the committee, but to say the least. A couple more, and then we'll get you out of here. Wow, yeah, they're up on ESPN Bet. Maybe you can bet more than $2. Huh, yeah, I'm going to have to look. I think I got an account there that hasn't been limited yet, one of my buddies. So spam me in the chat. Do you think Dave Duren has reached out to the center of the basketball team about playing D-tackle? I like that. Yeah, they did lose their D-tackle to Miami. But, yeah, well, how about that run from NC State? One that I did lose some money on was NC State. I bet North Carolina in that championship game. I thought NC State off the overtime game against Virginia was out of gas. We don't see fifth game in 5 days too often. It happens, once every few years maybe?
Was like on the hot seat to get fired, and this turning, first of all, like, what kind of contract is that where it just triggered a 2-year extension for him? He wins the NCAA tournament, and now he's like, you got him for 2 more years. So yeah, that was probably whatever. I think it was like a $7 million winner there. You're probably the happiest coach on earth.
One thing that gets me on college hoops, I just can't believe they value 3-4 days more than 3-4 months.
Right.
It just boggles my freaking mind that sport focuses. What are we taught in betting? Sample size. I need more. I need more data. Need more. And they just, nope. Whatever we got last in this 3-4 days is everything. Oh, my goodness. You got any closing thoughts? Any closing bets as far as maybe for hoops, college football, anything?
I got, you know what? I don't, the hoop stuff, I haven't, I bet a little, you know, some single games here and there, but I wish I had, you know, a sexy future or something or blah, that to get down on. I don't really, I was like after I bet a few before the bracket came out, and I wouldn't bet them after the bracket came out. So I had a couple lists of some higher prices, and the way the draw went, I would not bet those now. So that was I was going to come in with a couple, St. Mary's being one of them. But then they got a horrible draw. So, yeah, thanks to the committee for ruining this last segment here of, you know, some long shots that I liked.
So I got a quick story. Give me 90 seconds. People probably think I have a big ego. I mean, if you bet every game, you'd have to have some ego, particularly in college football. I bet every game in the tournament. I don't know if this is really in the weeds. So KenPom put up his projections. I don't originate in college basketball, but I know that KenPom drives the market. I know that tournament games should be shaded a little bit under, lower scoring, more pressure and all that. he came out with his projections. They're all like high. Like, I'm like, oh my God, they're like 10 points off these opening numbers at DraftKings. They're usually not. I can understand him being a couple points off because it's a tournament. But I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, what is more likely? DraftKings had an idiot posting idiotic numbers, or is Kempom off? I'm like, I'll trust Kempom in this instance. I bet every game over, and come to find out, Kempom today changed his projections, lowered every single game by 6 points. So I have a bet on every over. I normally like unders in the NCAA tournament, but yeah, what an idiot I am. I should have reached out to a few people. I knew I was in trouble when Circa opened last night, and they weren't too far off DraftKings numbers. And then Bart Torvik came along, and the numbers were way lower. So I got 32, maybe possibly negative EV bets going off of a fraud KenPom early number. So, but thankfully, most of them have moved up, though. So I have technically CLV on a bunch of them, but we'll see. There's a non-ego that a lot of people wouldn't be, you know, willing to share, but I did something probably really, really stupid last night.
Hey, I mean, well, that I can see the thought process, but I saw that today of like, I didn't know you had bet it, but I saw someone today, some tweets about like KenPom lowering all his
projections. They all were 6 points higher than what they were this morning. So I was thinking that DraftKings effed up. They were the only ones up. I'm like, I don't have high limits. I just told my buddy, hey, bet, you know, flat rate, bet all these. There's a possibility that all these numbers are off. Nope. So, that sucks. Oh, well, what an idiot I am. Drew, the friend of the program. Yeah, the ball could be different. Technically, I like betting more under, so I probably should have had that in the back of my mind and shouldn't have done that, but oh, well, we'll see what happens. One last one. Favorite first round upsets. Huh. Man, it would be probably like the popular ones like McNeese for me, I guess. I don't know. Quick strategy. No different than, I mean, depends on your bracket pool, how many people are in it, and what are the rules of the pool. As far as, I mean, do you get more credit for upsets? Is it, you know, basically you get a ton of points for getting the Final Four, right? The championship, right? So it really depends on your pool as far as the rules. I'm filling out a bracket. Rob will have you squared away as far as Circles Off today. They're talking that on the Circles Off podcast. Anything to close out, man? I'll get you out of here.
A couple, I didn't have any like big upsets. A couple of like the underdog teams that bet against. We're here. Let me find it here. I know McNeese was a popular one on there. The other one was
I Samford over Kansas.
Yeah. Terrible. That was another one. We don't want to go too in the weeds. I kind of like sprinkling a little bit more in the NIT, and I know this is going way in the weeds, but a couple of games there where I don't think you'll get your best effort from some of the teams there. I like that tournament a little bit more for the opportunity in terms of like betting.
Did you make some NIT bets already?
I sprinkled a few there.
There you go.
I like I bet San Francisco versus Cincinnati. Took some money line there too, +6. A little bit of San Fran, so don't think there's too much between those teams. So took a little San Fran there. App State too was another one that bet a little dog there in the first round NIT. So if you're bored on a Wednesday, those were a couple ones we bet already.
Got a Final Four national title pick before the games tip off, because I won't talk to you until Friday.
It's just I do think it's square as it gets. Connecticut's the best team in the country by kind of a decent margin. So that would be the square pick. The sexies, I'll still go with St. Mary's for a price. I love the way they're playing at the end of the season. Loved their coach. Love that they finally got the Gonzaga off their back. So that would be one. I think I bet some 20-1 Final Four. The pathway doesn't make it that much value anymore, but that's one I'll take as far as an off the cuff one. You?
I'm going to take Connecticut, best team. I hate that they got put in the toughest region, though, against teams that I was looking to bet on, like Auburn, Illinois looked pretty good to me. I think the one seed to go down, we already mentioned North Carolina. Arizona I'd like out of that bracket. But it could be – hell, I could see North Carolina getting beat in the second round, Izzo, Michigan State. So I'll be square. And I don't know if it's square. I mean, UConn's the best team. They just are. I mean, yep. they're the most well-built. They don't have very many weaknesses. If they play anywhere near their A game, nobody's beating them. That's going to do it, guys. I appreciate everyone tuning in. I appreciate you, as always, Kanish. I appreciate Jason for filling in for Zach for today and for all the show updates, including, again, 8 o'clock, right around 8 o'clock Eastern on Friday. We're going to have that watch along. Kanish will join me along with several other guests, hopefully Fez as well, as we watch some of the NCAA tournament games as far as the first round on Friday night. For all those updates on that, make sure you're following us at Hit the Books HQ and at the Hammer HQ on Twitter. That'll do it. We'll talk to you guys next time.